Welcome to the Whole Life Podcast Show, also now called the Heart Journey Podcast. I am Dr. Barbara Jean Losove, and I'm a minister who happens to also be a trauma specialist and a psychologist. Today, as always, we're coming to you from my ministry part of self, because we're coming to you from an exclusively Christian worldview, and we're with Dr. Everett Worthington, again, talking about all things forgiveness. We're going to talk a little bit about spiritual bypass. We're going to talk a little bit about how to move into into emotional forgiveness more deeply. We're going to talk about how to deal with sticky resentments that are hard to get rid of. And we're also going to talk about how you can access the REACH model workbook for yourself for free. So stay tuned. I don't know if you're familiar with Bruce Ecker's work, and it's tied into a lot of molecular science and neuroscience and also some post-hoc clinical science. But basically, he proposes that there's a mechanism in the brain that he calls memory reconsolidation, and that it's under a lot of the modalities that seem to work for changing emotional learning. And what's interesting is your REACH model would fit this. And so just very quickly, because I love to geek out on this stuff, but basically what research is showing from several different sciences is that, as we know, there's rewiring of the brain. And for emotional learning, a lot of times it's based on these traumas, these memories, these very things that we have unforgiveness over. And so if you open up a memory experientially, so that's the R, like you remember it, you spend some time with it, you let yourself feel it. After you open that up, the research shows you have 4 or 5 hours to have what's called a prediction error in there, in that window, something you're not expecting that's incongruent with what you're expecting in this memory and emotion. And if you have that with some counter learning in a way that's also experiential, you can change emotional learning. And I think your model fits that research or that paradigm, because you're opening it up and you're having things your brain doesn't expect, including my brain does not expect me to come from a narrative of doing something altruistic for the person that right. That has hurt me. And so there's some prediction errors. There's that surprise element in there that trips up my brain, that causes a consolidation. If Ecker is right here, and I kind of think he is, it causes a consolidation with emotional learning and emotional change. So I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So we have this, thing neuroscience calls a neo-associationist model. Mm-hmm. And that just means that I have lots of memories that are tied together.
Yeah.
And so, so even if I, am able to forgive and have this, wonderful experience, things will come back and trigger off an association that's attached to that, so that I can go like, oh, I thought I'd forgiven this, and yet, yeah. Oops, there it is again. Well, that's not exactly it. I've got the core of it taken care of, but there are associations that I might have to work on later, yeah. and go back and redo.
Yeah. What would you say?
I'm sorry. I was going through the REACH model, and I had recall. Empathy, altruistic gift. The last two are commit to the forgiveness you experience, so that you hold on to that experience. I just wanted to finish the just to prove that I could spell a 5-letter word.
I think you said commit and hold on,
but you just
went through them quick. Yeah. Well, why don't you, can you give us a story from your life, maybe where you had a sticky memory. I shared one with you that I just talked about, someone that was really impacting my family. And then probably for me, my mother and father were both, I have a story with a lot of complex PTSD. And so I think the empathy piece, and even as painful as it's been, realizing ways I've been similar to them, painful, because, you know, sometimes when people have hurt you, you build your life in a way that's like, I'm going to be the opposite. And then over time you realize, oh, I have some of the same narratives they had and I have to work on these. So that's helped me there. Maybe could you share a story from your own life about a sticky memory and how you, a sticky unforgiveness scenario and how you worked on it?
So I'll tell you two. I'll tell you one that actually turned out to be not sticky, but probably should have been. And that's the murder of my mom. Yeah. So in 1996, she was murdered in a home invasion New Year's Eve night. And as 95 turned over to 96. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went down, she lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, and my sister and I drove down. My brother, who lived in Knoxville, had discovered her body. He called and said, you know, mom's been murdered, come down. So we went down and they plopped us right in the middle of this murder investigation, took us over to the house. You know, it was just a wreck where the person had searched it. And then there was blood all over the place, you know, from the bludgeoning that he did. Well, by that night, all of the three of us were just, you know, really angry at this person, whoever it was, probably a youth. That's what the police had come to the conclusion. This was a burglary gone wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember being in the back room of my brother Mike's house, and we were talking about it and kind of putting the stories together. And I remember pointing at a baseball bat and saying, I wish whoever did that were here. I would take that baseball bat and hit him in the head till he died. And we were all, you know, ready to kill the person. But that night, I went up to my aunt's house to spend the night, couldn't sleep. You know, spent the night 6 hours walking around the bed, raging, and finally sat down to write a eulogy for my mom. I was the oldest, and I realized, hey, I've gone through 24 hours now, and I have not thought the word forgiveness. And here I am, a forgiveness researcher, written books on it, done mm-hmm. counseling on it, you know, but could not face that word even. And so I decided to like take that reach, you know, set of steps and kind of work through it. And as I did, I got to the place where, you know, I could see him, you know, the burglar, you know, in the cold, going to commit a perfect crime. And then he gets interrupted by this old woman and he's angry that he's been interrupted and he's afraid he's going to go to jail and he has no impulse control. So he bludgeons her. I suddenly flash back to being in that room that night and pointing at that baseball bat and saying, I would deliberately hit this guy in the head, you know, having had all day to think about it. Wow. And I thought, well, hey, wait a minute, whose heart is darker here? Yeah. This kid that can't control himself and just reacts, mm-hmm. or me, this mature person, and yet I'm willing to commit murder if I could get my hands on him? And I thought, well, my heart's darker than his. Mm-hmm. And yet I knew if I took that to the Lord, I could be forgiven. And I thought, well, if I can be forgiven of that, who am I to hold this against that young man? And then that is what allowed me to forgive and move on. Now, the reason I say that I'll tell two stories is because that's totally unusual in my experience. I know very few people who are just graced and mercied into being able to forgive in 24 hours. Now, here's the second story. I had a professor who gave me a B once.
I totally understand.
Oh, man. You know, 10 years. You talk about a sticky unforgiveness. That narcissistic wound was just, you know, festering for 10 years.
Honestly, I totally understand. I do. I was valedictorian and I worked hard to keep straight A's. I even didn't take certain more challenging classes. Like, I cannot mess up this GPA.
Yeah. Well, so yeah. How did that sticky, you know, unforgiveness get resolved? It turned out there is a woman that and you may be familiar with, Joy Dawson, who was involved in YWAM. Mm-hmm. And she was on a traveling tour and she stopped in Richmond and I went to see her speak. And she did a little exercise with hundreds of people in the room. You know, saying, you know, so imagine yourself in a room and this person comes in that you're holding this grudge against, you know, and so you're looking at this person. So she gives time to imagine. She says, now imagine Jesus comes into that room. So, okay, I could imagine that. Yeah. What does he do? And I thought, well, he immediately goes to me to comfort me from this. And then I thought, you know, I have heaped a lot of hate onto this guy for 10 years. Probably Jesus would be going to him and comforting him from all this, you know, kind of spiritual abuse that I have put on him in the heavenlies. And I thought, you know, that can't be. And so basically that absolutely, you know, Jesus absolutely ruined my grudge against that professor because I could never see him in my mind again without seeing the Lord comforting him, you know. So anyway, that's kind of the way that sticky unforgiveness got resolved.
Good. You know, I have this slide in my teaching, in my forgiveness module, where I list these things we feel so justified in resenting, right? Narcissistic abuse, didn't respect my voice, literally hit me or abuse me. And then I have this other side that says my part. And it's like, but do I seethingly rage inside over this? Do I judge this person? Do I secretly wish this person would come to demise? Do I wish everyone knew what this person did? And it's like, when you look at that, you're like, ooh, that's ugly.
Yeah.
So I love that you saw even your own resentment that feels so justified as really sinful. And that's where we need to look, because our anger makes us feel so justified looking at that piece of sawdust. And we miss the log in our own eye. And we do not see ourselves rightly. We do not see we're much closer to the darkest sinner than we are to Jesus, mm-hmm. You know, and could we talk about grief briefly?
Sure.
Because I know we forgive, and sometimes I think people think, well, I've forgiven, I shouldn't feel this anymore, or I should be whole here. They've made that decision to forgive. Maybe they even have some emotional forgiveness, but the grief from the trauma and the way it impacted them is still coming up. Mm. I try to help people understand those are different, but I would love to hear what you think about it.
Well, I think they're very different. The foremost scientist that studied grief is Robert Niemeyer. Mm-hmm. And basically we used to think, if you are still grieving after a year, that's a morbid grief reaction. And you know, Robert Niemeyer found that 2 years after a person has, you know, had a substantial loss, over 50% of the people are still grieving about that. That grief, in many ways, is not something we get over. It's something we get past, but it is going to keep coming up, you know, more or less over the course of our life. And so I look at forgiveness as being, well, that can help us because it changes the way that I see this event.
Yes.
So with grieving, I rehearse a lot of the things that this person took from me. You know, if I'm grieving the loss of a job because I got fired unjustly or, you know. And so I rehearse that, but if I am rehearsing it again and again and again with resentment and bitterness, then basically the memory that I'm growing is going to be a very tear-stained, salty, you know, twisted plant. Yes. Whereas if I can forgive and I can get healthy soil to do that memory work that grief involves, that allows me to regrow those plants in a more healthy way and to not just rehearse the bitterness again and again.
Beautiful. Because Jesus really can meet many of those, well, all of those needs in us. It's just a process. And to be honest, I've been studying this for decades and helping people with this for decades. And I'm still, you know, I'm still cooking, you know, so it is a process. All right. What, as we wrap up, what are you most excited about in regards to forgiveness or forgiveness research? Like if you could have podcasted on anything you wanted to, what's exciting for you right now?
Yeah, I think the most exciting thing is the possibilities of affecting global mental health.
Yes.
So there is a global mental health crisis that, you know, all over the world, anxiety and depression and anger and, you know, these things are causing psychological problems. And frankly, there are not enough people doing treatment to be able to handle a tenth of the problems.
Yeah.
And not only that, but psychological treatment is in many places in the world stigmatized. And so people don't go to counseling, even though they need it and they know they need it, but no, they can't show that to anybody else. So, you know, how do we meet these tremendous mental health needs all over the world? And my belief is forgiveness is something that's very universal, you know, the need for it. And people can forgive and can even seek some kind of treatment for forgiving and not be stigmatized.
Yeah.
And yet we know that if you go through a 3-hour do-it-yourself workbook of forgiveness, you will also reduce your depression, reduce your anxiety, increase your hope, increase your sense of flourishing, increase your sense of well-being. Your mental health will get better without the stigma, without having to go to a therapist. And this is true around the world. So, you know, we have just completed last year a big study of this Reach Forgiveness method in a 3.3-hour do-it-yourself workbook that is, you know, was effective in a randomized control trial in 5 different countries, none of which is the U.S., China, Indonesia, Ukraine, two sites in the Ukraine, Colombia, 60 years of civil war, South Africa, you know, 5 different places, 4,598 people went through this, including almost 400 war survivors in Colombia. And the effects of this not only were that they could forgive, but also that their mental health improved. Those workbooks are now available free in English, Spanish, Ukrainian, Chinese, Portuguese, various languages, free, downloadable, available to people in their first language. So probably 2/3 of the world can access those things free in their first language.
Amazing. Where do we go for that, Dr. Worthington?
There is a website, and you could put in the HTTPS, as we all love and know, and colon and slash, yeah, backslash, backslash. But the address is reach.discoverforgiveness. No space, just discoverforgiveness.org.
Okay.
Reach.discoverforgiveness.
Okay.
.org. And it's a .org, not a .com. So that's the place where people get lost in that. And those workbooks are available. Choose your language. Boom. You can download them. Fill them out yourself.
Yeah. I'm the older I get in the Lord, and the more I do on the ministry and on the clinical side, my heart is that churches really develop care ministries where we not just say, hey, do you know how to do the spiritual disciplines? Do you know the word of God? But is your soul well? Like, I would love for every church to have some kind of Christian 12-step group in it, a reach program in it. We're going to be making Heart Journey for churches to do some of that deeper work so that people actually can get do a lot within the church paradigm that is completely within their worldview. So I am with you on that. And I'm so excited about this because you're right. Forgiveness has huge mental health and physical health outcomes,
positive outcomes, and spiritual.
Yes, outcomes. So thank you. Would you like to pray for us as we uh-huh. close?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Lord, we do thank you for this chance to talk to people far and wide. And we ask, Lord, that your hand will be in this, that you'll be guiding it, that you'll be, if there are things that touch people that they can use to forgive in their life, that you would help them to find the resources they need to do that. We thank you for all of the help that is given through the church and help that you give directly as people pray, as people try to live in a way that blesses you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And we do pray that you'll continue to work mighty things in people's lives. We ask these things in your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Everett Worthington, for being with us. You're one of my heroes, and this has been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you, Dr. Barbara.
Oh, beloved, thank you for staying with us for these couple podcasts where we're talking about the healing power of forgiveness. You know, we've been talking a lot about codependency on the Heart Journey podcast, and forgiveness of ourselves and forgiveness of others is so key in overcoming forgiveness. In overcoming codependency, it's key because it's an essential piece to the puzzle, because if we're burning up our mental energy, our spiritual energy in resentment, we're going down instead of up, and God is calling us up, and we want to own our side of the street. We don't want to go out of the spirit into resentment, but we want to stay in the spirit. Let me pray for you. Lord, help each person to stay in the spirit, to love you, to follow you, and to see the log in their own eye, and to be free from these resentments. God, give us the gift of emotional forgiveness, the way you gave it to Dr. Worthington with the murder of his mother. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right. Make sure you're following on Instagram, following Dr. Barbara Ministries on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, on YouTube, and all the places where you find podcasts, the Heart Journey podcast with Dr. Barbara Lowe or Dr. Barbara Jean Lowe Sauve. And did you know that my name means strange person who grace found, so she walks slow because she's saved? Your name has meaning too. Your life has purpose. Find it in the Lord. Go on the heart journey to come into one heart and one mind with Him. I love you, and I'll see you next week.